So this morning's topic is fasting, like Jill said, and I just want to share a story about my first experience with fasting, and then we'll dive into some table discussion for a good 10-15 minutes. So I became a believer during the Jesus movement that was taking place in Southern California. You know, all those hippies found God, or God found them, or found us, however you want. And so I was 15, and my cousin and I, new believers, you know, we were attending Calvary Chapel. You know, that was where all of the Southern California stuff was going on, all, you know, this explosion of young people coming to church. And so we had read or had heard or someone had shared this idea about this need to fast. And we thought, well, we're new believers. We need to do what God's telling us to do. So we decided we were going to have a fast. So I was staying at my cousin's house, you know, so my aunt Rosalia says, you know, hey, what do you guys want for breakfast? Oh, we're fasting. We're fasting. And my uncle Bud, Mateo, he looked at us and said, and in his Sicilian dialect, you're crazy. Eat something. We're fasting. We're fasting. So about noon, you know, you can hear the stomach kind of growling. So my cousin and I decided we are going to go to the grocery store, Albertsons. I'm not sure if there's Albertsons here in Tennessee. They were big in Southern California. Make our, you know, 5-block walk to Albertsons and load it up on Gino's pizza rolls. Oh, golly, there was Chinese food. If it was frozen, and if we bought it, and it, you know, my aunt, gotta eat something. It's dinner time. Gotta eat something. No, we're fasting. We're fasting. At about 10 o'clock at night, the frozen food comes out. You know, all we could think about and talk about was how it was gonna taste so good. This crummy food was gonna taste so good. At 11:30, food went in the oven. You know, everything's out now. It's out, laid out on the counter, and we're just watching. We're just kicking the time off, you know, waiting till midnight, and the minute it struck midnight stroke, or the strike of midnight, how do you say that? We feasted till we were sick, okay? That is not a good way to fast. We learned our lesson. Because of that experience, I started listing all of these different questions about fasting as I prepared for this morning. Look at that beautiful couple. There we go. And you know, I started thinking, does God call us to fast? You know, what is fasting supposed to be like? What was the practice of fasting during the days of Christ? What did he have? What did Jesus have to say about fasting? Is there a right and wrong way to fast? Can the lack of fasting hinder our spiritual walk? Does it enhance our spiritual walk? I mean, I came up with 18 questions that we're not gonna get into nearly all of them. But what I do want to do this morning is open us up in a word of prayer, and then give you about 10 minutes. There's a lot of verses on your table. They're really short verses, but they're all about, you know, experiences that godly people had fasting. And I want us to, if you wouldn't mind, just having a conversation about what was the circumstance that surrounded the prompting for these men and women to engage in fasting. All right? So let me open us up in a word of prayer, and then I'll leave you guys at your tables for about 10 minutes. How's that? Father God, we welcome you in this place. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us this place where believers can gather together around your word. Thank you that we live in a place where we have the freedom still to gather and profess a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning as we dive into your word, a word that is able to make us wise unto salvation, I pray that you would give us hearts and minds that would seek you in all things. To the praise and glory of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. So 10 minutes, and then I'll come back and grab you. Okay, I hope you guys have gotten through most of that stuff. No? Yes? Just nod. Good. We're going to get to those. To some of those passages in a little bit. But first, if you wouldn't mind, flipping over to Isaiah 58. What I want to do is take a look at a couple of passages of Scripture. One is in Isaiah 58. The other one is in, I think it's Matthew 9, that deal with the topic of fasting, sort of. We'll talk a little bit about that, kind of draw some application out of that, or at least some principles out of that, and then from there, we'll dive into some of the discussion that you guys have had around your tables this morning. Does that sound good? So have you flipped over to Isaiah 58? Let me read that to us. I'm just going to look at the first 9 verses, and I'm going to try something new this morning. I think I can make that a little bit larger, but not much. So I'm hoping you guys in the back can see it. If this doesn't work, I've got a whiteboard. I'm going to try to use technology, but I don't think it'll work. All right, here we go. So Isaiah 58, beginning in verse 1. Shout it out loud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. This is the Lord speaking to Isaiah. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commandments of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this a kind of fast I have chosen, to loosen the chains of the unjust and untie the cords of the yoke? And untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer you for help. He will say, "Here I am." Okay, how's that? So let me ask you a question to get this conversation going. How do the people see themselves in this text? How do the people of Israel see themselves in this text? And what was their beef or their complaint with the Lord? Yeah, good. Where do you see that? Verse 2, yeah. Day after day they seek me, right? They eagerly want to know my ways, but that as if, right? Isn't that key? As if they're a nation that does what is right. So they assume that they're doing what is right, correct? But that's not what, right? What else do you see?
I mean,
Yeah. They think that they see themselves as righteous, right? And what was their complaint? Saying, why are we doing this, right? What were they expecting from God? Yeah, they were expecting him to reciprocate, weren't they? You see that, right? Right, you haven't noticed, right? And what's God's response? Right, you have not seen, you have not noticed. What is God's response to their why question? Yeah, and how is that, how do you see that? Where do you see that? Yeah. And even in the latter part of verse 3, right? You do as you please, right? On the day that they fast, they're pretty much acting like my cousin Joe and I on that, my very first experience of fasting, right? The thought was not on the Lord, it was on themselves, right? And here they are, even though they're in a fast where they're supposedly humbling themselves before the Lord, right? They are still acting the way they acted, right? Before the fast. You know, their actions don't align with, their external action of fasting does not line up with the internal heart. Does that make sense? Catching that? Okay. And what does God say he expects of them? Or what does he accuse them of? Let me ask that question first. What does he accuse them of? Yeah. Now, when you look at verse 5, and you see the Lord describing their fast, right? He's saying, right, is this the kind of fast that I choose? Only a day for humbling themselves? Humbling themselves meaning, you know, you walk around. What passage of scripture pops into your head when you think of verse 5? Is it not only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Do you recall a New Testament a point in the Beatitudes when Christ is talking to his disciples and he talks about fasting? When you fast, don't what? Don't make a show of it, right? You know, and he describes them, doesn't he? They hang their heads, right? They make sure that everyone is aware that they're in a fast. Why? Why?
Why do they do that?
Yeah. Yeah, why do they do that?
Because it's about themselves, not about honoring God or seeking him.
Right. Yeah, and what is, when Christ says to them, they have the reward, right? We talked about this with giving a couple of weeks ago. You have your reward. You're being noticed, and people are woohoo, you know, look at you. You know, you've got all the glory that comes with the fast that you're engaged in, but that's all you're getting, right? Because you're not doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for yourself, or you're doing it to manipulate God into doing something for you. Does that make, right? And we see that not just in fasting. We see that in everything, right? Why do I serve in the church? Why do I give? You know, why do I do my, and we're going to be talking about quiet time, the importance of quiet time next week. But we, you know, why do we do that? Why am I studying the word or reading the word? Why am I coming to church on Sunday? You know, is it really to honor the Lord, or is it because that's something that I do? You know, is it cultural? Is it more than cultural? Is it more feeling good about myself? right? Or is it God honoring? Like, I'm here to worship. I'm here this morning to worship. When I fast, my purpose for fasting is something other than drawing attention to myself or desiring God to step in and do something, not that he wants, but that I want, right? If you go back up, right? When they say that, they ask the question, right? Why have we fasted? You've not seen it. Why are we humbling ourselves? You have not noticed. It's they're angry with God because God's not responding in the way in which they desired God to respond. Right? Catch that? All right, let's jump over to Matthew. Before I go there, but I just want one other thing. There was a quote by Jean Campbell Morgan that I don't want to pass up. If you've been in any of my classes, you'll know that G. Campbell Morgan's like one of my heroes. He said, speaking of God, he does not accept the prostration of the body, which is unaccompanied by affliction of the soul. Catch that? You know, when it comes to fasting, what's the purpose of the fast? So God won't accept the fast if it's not accompanied by a yearning of the soul. Another way of putting that is if we're fasting in a way that demonstrates, for the purpose of demonstrating our worthiness to God, we've missed the mark. So flip over now to Matthew 9. I think I've got it here. Let me go ahead and read this. This is, it's kind of put the text in context. Jesus was having dinner with Matthew and his tax collector friends. And he gets encountered by a group of Pharisees, and the Pharisees are asking him, what are you doing with the riffraff? You know, and you know the response that Jesus gives. You know, I've come... You know, it's the sick that need a physician, not the well. And then after the Pharisees kind of step away, John the Baptist, his disciples, he is, I think at this point, John's been beheaded. I believe so, but don't quote me on that. But his disciples come and pose a question to Jesus. They say, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said, how can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment and make the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skin will burst and the wine will run out and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wineskins into new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. So, talk to me about the question that's posed by John's disciples. What are they after? What's their question on the surface? It's right on the surface. What? Yeah. What the heck? You know, you know, it's like, it's kind of, you know, like, why did my brother get the bigger piece of pie? Right? I mean, how many have siblings? Yeah, okay. So you know what I'm talking about, right? Sidebar, my brother had twins. And I remember one day, his wife, my sister-in-law Monica, had this long piece of, what was it? It was candy. I can't remember if it was taffy or if it was licorice, but it was this long piece. And he said to the twins, all right, we got to share this. And so she tells one of the twins, you cut it, right? And so he cut it. Yeah, and then she gave the piece that he was expecting for himself to his twin brother. Oh my gosh, it was wonderful. I'll never forget that, because I thought, wow, if ever I have twins, that's what I'm going to do. That was so wonderful. But that's what we're doing. It's like, what the heck? You know? And what's Jesus say? Why? Well, let me ask you this before we get into what Jesus says. What was really at the heart of what they were saying? At the heart of what they were saying? Yeah. How is it that we fast? And they mentioned the Pharisees. Isn't that interesting? Right? And that should be, that gives you kind of a hint. What are they really looking for? What's at the heart of what they're asking? Has more than just fasting, right? Don't you think? Ah, that's an interesting thought. I didn't think about that, but that's an interesting thought. Yeah. Maybe they're questioning his claim. You know, that's a really good thought. I like that. I wish I thought of that. Good golly, that would have been, I'm gonna have to add that to my notes if I ever teach this again. What else? What else is there? Because there's something at the In a way, they are, aren't they? Because they're questioning the disciples. They're putting themselves and the Pharisees up here and the disciples of Jesus down here. Yeah, but what is this? Think back to Isaiah. Yeah. And why, what? If you go back to that Matthew 6 passage about the Pharisees. Well, you know what? Here, let's go. Let's flip up to Luke 18, if you would. I've got it up here on the screen. I've got it up on the screen. I'll try to make it as large as I can. You're familiar with this parable, right? You've got Jesus is talking to a group, and he says, two guys go to pray, right? And what does the Pharisees say? I'm glad I'm not like him, right? Right? But how does he describe himself? Yeah. You know why he fasted twice a week? There's three thoughts. One is that I gotta remember this. Let's see. One is that the court in heaven rules on Mondays and Thursdays, and so if you want a good outcome when God is ruling, God is judging, you fast on Monday and Thursday, so that you're in a good place. Okay. Another is I'm trying to remember them. Oh. Thank the Lord I wrote them down. The Torah is read every Monday and Thursday. Isn't that interesting? So when the Torah is read, they would fast. And then Moses, when, you know, after the calf incident, Moses went up to see God. He left on a Monday, and after 40 days with the Lord, he came down on a Thursday. And so they fast to commemorate when Moses went back up to Sinai and when Moses came down. Okay. How does that, what does that sound like to you? Yeah. It was tradition. It was, and there's another off the cuff, but every, like, the fifth month, I think, the seventh month and the ninth month, you find this in Zechariah. They would fast to commemorate, not commemorate, but to mourn the day that Jerusalem, the month in which Jerusalem fell, and then the month in which the temple was destroyed, and then the month in which the person that was put in charge by the Jewish leader who was put in charge by the Babylonians was assassinated during that during that exile of Judah, and they would fast on those days as well. But yes, it's a ritual. And what the John's disciples were saying is, you're not following Jesus, your disciples aren't following the religious customs of our day. So now how does Jesus answer? Can't put new wine in old wineskins. What does that say? My kingdom doesn't fit your rituals. Does that make sense? My kingdom is different. I'm not asking my people to fast on Monday and Thursday or on the fifth month, seventh month, and ninth month. In fact, he says, they don't need to fast because I'm here, right? And the time, there's a debate on the time in which when he speaks of when he'll be gone. There's a debate on what that time is. But today we have Christ. And so that's why there's nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere in the Old Testament, there's one place in the Old Testament in which a fast is commanded by God, and that's in Leviticus 16. And that's on the Day of Atonement. Other than that, there is no call for a fast. Okay? Does that make sense? So what Jesus is saying is to him is, you're fasting for the wrong reasons. So now let's talk about why, or what are some of the good reasons. We have some examples, right, of men and women of God who actually participated in a fast. What were the circumstances? What were some of them that you guys came up with? What were they? Yeah. Yeah. What was one of the examples of that? Yeah. Right? So it was they were grieving the loss of a loved one, and it drove them to fast in mourning, right? Okay, what else? Yeah, where did you see that? Yeah. I thought, was that 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel? Where else? Yeah, it was chapter 7. Yeah.
Fear of repercussions for following the Lord.
Yes. Yeah, it was for protection. She was seeking the Lord to protect. Yeah. Yes, and so she was asking for a fast before. Yeah, because she was about to go into the king's court and ask him for something that, yeah, she had no right to ask. Right.
Safe journey.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. What else? Yeah, decision making, right? Yeah. Yeah, they're seeking wisdom and guidance, right? You know how your brain goes numb when you're up here? Sorry. There we go. Golly, it was just kind of like, I had these visions of S. Okay, what else? Yeah, and you know what? I want to talk. Can I hold off on that for a minute? Because I want to come back to that one.
I'm noticing the language in that chapter kind of aligns with the language in Matthew 9.
It's really interesting. I love that. That whole story to me is wonderful. But he is. I'm almost wanting to say, in addition to praying for healing, you know, I think David is also, I think he's also praying a prayer of repentance, because he's asking God not to punish his son for his own sin, for David's sin. Is that, yeah. I love, man, that I just love that last part, you know, when he says, when the folks are like, what are you doing? Your son died and now you're eating? Yeah. What else do you see? Yes. Yeah. Again, I think that's, yeah, they're looking for discernment. There's an N in there. And that's an N. Okay, yeah. Yeah. What about Anna? Did you guys get to Anna? Yeah. She's there worshiping, right? Her fast was part of her worship as she was hoping to see the coming Messiah. Wow. You got them. Did we miss any of these? I mean. Yeah. Isn't it interesting? I mean, that one really struck me because we have God choosing to fast before he engages in ministry, and before knowing that he is about to be bombarded. And how do we feel like, I don't need to fast, you know? I'm not God. So heck, I can begin doing whatever I feel God's calling me to do, and I don't need to be prepared to take that first step, right? You know, but Christ is the example. And that's why in Matthew 6, he doesn't say you're commanded to fast, he doesn't say you don't have to fast. He says, when you fast, again, the implication there is fasting in the life of the believer is expected. He doesn't, you know. So what does this tell us? How is this different from John's disciples and the folks in Isaiah? Yeah. Yeah, it's circumstance driven, you know. It's not I fast because it's Tuesday or Monday. Excuse me, you know. Yeah, and I'm not fasting because I'm trying to get something from God, although there is that element of it. But really, what they're doing is two things, right? First thing is that they have a reason for fasting that's beyond the ritualistic. Right? They have there's a circumstance that's driving them too fast. And then secondly, in every case, their purpose is seeking the will and pleasure of God. Look at Acts chapter 9. And then I want to spend some time talking about some of the ways in which we engage in fasting. But look at before we go there, let me just read this one small verse out of Matthew chapter 8. It's so unassuming, but it's so powerful. Jesus had finished the Beatitudes, right? And he's walking around, you know, he's left the sayings, the crowd's like just amazed at his teaching. And as he's walking down the road, he comes across a leper. And the leper says to him, this is Matthew 8, 1 and 2. And the leper says, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I will be clean. Notice the attitude. He doesn't say, Lord, heal me. He says, Lord, if you will, I know you can heal me. That's the attitude when we fast. The attitude of our fast should be, what is your will, Lord? And if you will, then let it be. And my fast is to present to the Lord the seriousness of my request, you know, the heartfelt request. Now, flip over to Acts chapter 9. You guys are so familiar with this story, right? In Acts 9, in verse 8, remember Paul is blind, right? He's blinded by the vision of the Messiah. And then you see that Paul goes to, I think it's verse 8. Yeah, so Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days, he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. And then the Lord approaches Ananias. And this is in verse, I think it's verse 11. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. Catch that? And if you notice, in all the passages that you looked at your tables, how often did you see the word fast without the word prayer? In almost every circumstance, it was fasted and prayed, fasted and prayed. So the attitude is not waiting for, you know, Gino's pizza, you know, at midnight. It's a time. Fasting ought to be a time of prayer, of being with the Lord in prayer. Okay? All right, now let's talk a little bit. Any questions, by the way, before we move on? Any questions? Say that again. Yeah.
So there's that element of sacrifice that draws us, you know, if they make John near to me, I'll draw near to you even more so.
Yeah, and that's the attitude that one should have. I know of someone who gave up something. It was a particular food that she really, really likes. But she gave it up to remind her every time she had this craving for chocolate. Okay, it brought her to pray for she was fasting for a particular person, if I'm remembering correctly. And every time she had this desire for chocolate, it would remind her to be in prayer for this person who was suffering. That's a good segue. We've got just a few minutes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question, and I wish I had a good answer for you. Off the cuff, I would say that fasting isn't in there because we're not called to fast. I don't know that my walk with the Lord, my spiritual growth, maybe I put it that way, doesn't require me to fast. But what I miss is the joy of being in communion with God that is the result of an honest, humble fast. It's a willingness to surrender something, not for my sake, but for the glory of God, for the intimacy that I might share with God. I don't know, again, that's not just off the cuff. But boy, Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I think that is the tendency. I mean, that's the human natural response, you know. So I hear that, but I would say that I think that we can enter in a fast that's not, because the purpose of the fast is, it's not necessarily the lack of a meal or the lack of chocolate. You know, it's more about the attitude of the heart, you know. So, yeah, and fasting, sometimes when we think of fasting, as being, you know, 24 hours, no food, you know. But there's a whole lot of different ways to fast. Daniel, for an example, in chapter 10, you know, he just gave up some delicate foods. Yeah, and some meats, I think it said, you know. Paul refers to or suggests in 1 Corinthians that couples, you know, abstain from sexual intimacy as a fast. You have a Jewish custom from sun up to sundown as a fast. So it's not a full 24 hours, it's more of a 12-hour fast. You have fasts that are partial, you know, where you give up a meal or you give up certain foods. There are fasts that don't include foods at all. You know, you could give up football if you're a big football fan. You know, for me, it would be coffee. I would give up just the thought of that. Okay, but so what I would encourage you to do is to not be legalistic about the fasting. I would encourage you to seek the Lord in your fasting. If you're thinking about fasting with food, you know, doing a food fast, boy, I would encourage you to, especially if you have some underlying health issues, to get with your, you know, with your physician, with your doctor first to make sure that it's something that you can do, you know. But there are so many different ways to fast. Yeah. Yes.
So I would also say, I think we shouldn't forget that the Holy Spirit can prompt us toward that if that's what the Lord is calling for.
Absolutely. And if you look at Luke's account, Luke 4, when he talks about Jesus going into the wilderness for fasting, it says he was driven by the Holy Spirit. So, yeah. Absolutely. And I would encourage you to seek the Lord and make sure that it's not a ritualistic thing, but more of a heartfelt thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I would add to that too. Like, I think fasting is a way of adding gravity to your expression in prayer. I think words can be cheap sometimes, especially words in your head. Like, we show that we value God's law, for example, by obeying him. But when we're making a request or a petition to him, like, how do we show that we're serious about that? Like, one way to do that and sort of to help engage your heart and your body in your act of prayer is by fasting.
Yeah.
Setting aside some, like, earthly comfort to say, no, this is really important to me.
Yep.
Not that we're trying to earn it or, like,
right,
leverage on God, but that we're really, I keep thinking of it as, like, a way of expressing, like, wow, I'm lacking, you know, the words in my head aren't able to capture how important this is to me, so
yeah.
I'm going to borrow my body and my heart and use these things that God has given me to express this to him.
Yeah, and that's exactly David in 2 Samuel 12, you know, because he is told by Nathan that his son's going to die. He asks the Lord not to take his son, and then he prostrates himself for however many days without eating. Yeah, I think it's a cry of the soul that is more than just spiritual. Like, there's a physical element to it. So I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
And to add to that too, I think it can also help in combating idolatry. Because when you're stuck on an idol, just seeking God and still holding on to something might not be enough. You might need to completely abstain from something, even if it's a good thing.
Right. Yes, yes. Very interesting thought. Very interesting thought. I like that. I like that. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
I just want to boast that I fast between every meal.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. If I can
remember.
Yeah. I'll try to remember that. Thank you for that advice. I'll try to remember that. And then, you know, I'll just encourage you to speak louder. Okay. I'll just. Yeah. Hey, this has been wonderful. If you have any questions, because it's now past time. If you have any questions. I'll be sitting up here. Just feel free to pick on me any way you want. All right, let me close this in prayer. Father God, again, thank you that you've given us the opportunity to just wrestle with your word. And Father, I pray over in the weeks, days and weeks ahead, Lord, that you would prompt us on this subject of fasting, on all of the spiritual disciplines, Lord. I pray that we would truly seek your face in all things. Our desire, Lord, is to be more like Christ. And it's to that end, Lord God, we give you praise and glory. Amen.